Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Anne Sophie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much. Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you.
I'm so excited to chat with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Anne Sophie. I'm actually French, born, raised, educated. I lived there until I was 21. And then I moved to a few different countries. I lived in the Netherlands for a while, in Australia. And then I've been in the US, in New York City, since 2011. My previous career was in advertising, but I've been a full-time writer for over 10 years now. I do a lot of different types of writing.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. I used to live in New York, so I love it.
Yeah, I love it here. You know, this year has been interesting, but, you know, it's a great place to be. I like it a lot.
That's awesome. So what neighborhood do you live in New York? Are you in Brooklyn?
I am in Brooklyn. I was in Manhattan for, I guess, 8 years, and I moved to Brooklyn last summer. So I still feel a little bit new to it, like last year. So, you know, between like the whole like moving is always like very time consuming. And then I feel like, you know, even though it's been like a year and a half by now, I still feel kind of new because this year has been so unusual.
Yeah, this year has just been like, it's like, it doesn't count. I feel like this 2020 is just like, it's just a blip in the moment. Like, I feel like we're in March, not in December, you know, like I don't know, like time has flown by like really quickly, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
like no. Totally. I feel like this year doesn't count for like many reasons. That this year just does not count.
So, what inspired you to become a writer?
That's a really good question. I think it's a bit cliche to say that, but I think I was always kind of a writer. Like, I think I was, the first time I had access to a computer, the first thing I did was type a story, like write a story, like make it up as I went. And I think I just really always loved stories, like in every shape and form, loved writing, loved putting words together. Like, I just really love, like, it's kind of silly maybe to say this, but I just really love words and like figuring out ways to put them together really nicely. I've always really enjoyed that. And so like over time, you know, I did a lot of different things. My first real writing job was, I was a freelance journalist for a local newspaper while I was still at university. And then I had like a few different things like that over the years. So I've always kind of written, I guess, in one way or another.
I loved it. And so what was your journey to get that first book published? Did you publish in French first, or
yes?
Okay.
Yeah. So I have. What's that, sorry?
What was that journey like?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. So my case is a little bit unusual because I speak both languages and write in both languages, but I started in French, and a very long story short, I had a friend of a friend worked at the French publisher I ended up working with, and they reached out to me one day and said, hey, you know you really like fashion. We want to write this, we want to publish this nonfiction guide to fashion for teenage girls. Do you want to audition for it, basically? Mm-hmm. So I had like 2 days to write like 3 pages of a book that I'd never written a book before. I'd written other things, but never like a full book. Well, not like I had to write a full book this time, but you know, like it's kind of a different process than writing like a newspaper article. So I did it over 2 days, and they were like, yeah, great. Okay. We want you to write it, and you have 2 months. And I mean, this was nonfiction, so like shorter than you know, like a regular novel. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. It was, you know, it was intense because I did that while working full time and just learning everything about writing books. But then as soon as it was finished, I was like, okay, guys, like, I want to, you know, like, what else? What else can we do together? And so I went on, to write in total 12 nonfiction books for them. Mm. And sometime, you know, along the way, at some point, they were like, okay, we want to write more novels now, because originally they were more like a nonfiction publisher for children and young adults. And they had sort of, anyway, so I ended up writing as well, like a 5-book YA novel series, like, so 5 books of them. So that was my experience in France. And along the way, I moved to the US at some point during that process. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. What was I going to say? Yeah, so while I was working on these books, I moved to New York. And then I thought, I really want to start writing and in English and publishing in English. And I knew that I could, but it was more like it was a little bit daunting to have to go back, you know, go back to the scratch base, like go back to zero, in the sense that the industry is very different in the US. You need to get an agent. If you published in another language, but not in English, like, it, you can't really use that and say, hey, look, I'm experienced. You have to go back to the beginning. So, which is what I did. I wrote a novel in English. I got an agent. It did not get published, like, it did not sell, which I did not know this at the time, but it's actually very common. Like, a lot of people get, you know, write books and get an agent, and sometimes that book doesn't sell, and it's like book 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 that ends up selling. It's definitely a long-term game, I think. It's been my experience anyway. So anyway, that book doesn't sell, but then I ended up working on Kisses and Croissants, and that one actually was kind of a dream come true, even though it was a long path to it. It just ended up getting a lot of interest really quickly and selling to a publisher in like 4 days. And I had, like, you know, you kind of have like, oh, this is my dream editor and my dream publisher, and I had it worked out exactly perfectly with this publisher and editor. So I'm you know, in the end, I'm happy it worked out that way, but it took me several years from the moment I decided to write a book in English to, it took me about, 5 years, I think. Until the book deal, not until the publication, because that's another 2 years on top of it.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I can imagine. It's so weird. I'm always fascinated to the publishing world. And so the whole experience in France and how different it is from the U.S., it's fascinating, you know. So
yeah, it's very well. So in France, we don't typically we don't have agents. Like, authors don't have agents. Like, the really, really big names do, but like, I will say, like, 99% of authors don't have agents. So you don't have that extra layer, I guess. But you also don't get that help with your contracts and stuff like that. So pros and cons.
There we go. So let's talk about writing process. Do you follow an online or do you register early to you?
So I've done it both ways. I think now I'm pretty firmly pro outline because I just feel like my process is like, whatever I can do to not face a blank page is what I will do, because I think the blank page is the scariest thing ever, and it remains scary to this date, even though I've written a few books by now. So I feel like when you're writing an outline, at least you're focusing on like what the story is about and what, you know, who the characters are, where it's set, what's the timeline, you know, like all these details, but you're not thinking at all about writing pretty sentences, you know, like, you know, quirky dialogue or anything like that. So you can really have that, you know, that thought process. And then when you are ready to, at least for me, like when I'm ready to start writing the draft, at least I have like pages and pages of like notes and scenes and things that I want to happen. So it helps me a lot. I don't always follow the outline super strictly. I definitely see how I feel along the way, but I do like having like a framework for sure.
And so in terms of characters, how do you develop them? Do they come to you? Do you brainstorm ideas? What's the process like?
Yeah, you know, it varies. I, I, I was thinking about this question and I don't even really know if I have an answer. I guess they do come to me. I think I like to think, there's a few things I really like to think about is what do they want? Like, what is like their purpose throughout this story, their goals? And I like to think about what stands in their way as well. But I'm always kind of intrigued about like family backgrounds. Like I feel, especially in YA, I think it's especially important because how you were raised and, you know, where you were born and raised and sort of what environment you grew up in can really affect you, I think, as a person, but so as a character as well. So I kind of like to think about, the environment they were brought up in. And I don't really do too much work in terms of what they look like. I mean, that kind of comes to me. Like I sort of like picture them roughly and I don't really, like I quickly picture them roughly and I don't really need to, you know, like put a lot of like time into that. Like that's sort of more like intuitive, I guess. I do brainstorm, I think, ideas. I find it even more important for side characters. Like, you know, if your main character is going to have like a few friends, what does each character bring to the table? Like as in bring to the story, but like, what do they bring to the main character as well? Like what sort of challenges, do they add? So that's not a very straightforward process. Like with characters, it kind of comes and goes. And I do sometimes change, you know, aspects of the development, like in draft 3, you know, so it's definitely, it's not worked out from the start. Not all of it anyway.
Yeah, I think it's just part of the writing process. So you discover the characters as you get the story into it. You start discovering like what the characters are doing, how they're supporting each other, how different aspects will evolve. So it makes sense that it does change, you know.
Yeah, very, very true. And I think also it's trying to figure out, like, as you learn to know them better, you're like, well, then she would never do that. You know, like there was something I had planned in my outline about like a plot point or something, an action she would take. And then I'm like, well, I no longer believe that she would actually do that. So I have to change it for it to make sense with what her character is, for example.
Yeah. And so let's talk about Kisses in Grisan, which is mm-hmm. by far one of my most anticipated new releases for.
Oh, thank you.
And I got to read it and I loved it.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was perfection. The way I can describe it is center stage, which I don't know if you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
Paris meets, you know, and then the French kiss. Like, it's like all the goodness of just being summer in Paris ballerina. So good.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, that description I think is exactly spot on. That's a little bit of ballet, a lot of Paris, a romance, and a little bit of mystery on the side.
Yeah. So what was the source of inspiration?
So many things. But I will say that I think what I really wanted to do is what I really wanted to do is write a love letter to Paris. I think I you know, I grew up outside Paris, about 40 minutes south, southeast. And I've always loved the city deeply. I've never lived there, but I've gone there many, many times, obviously. And I just, every time I go, you know, even though I'm French, like I very much go as a tourist, and I always figure out a way to spend 2-3 days by myself in the city. And I'm like the biggest fan, you know, I just love walking around and I just love everything about it. And I think it was this idea of like having, you know, a very fun, lighthearted romance with, you know, Paris as not just a backdrop, but like with Paris as a character of the story. Mm-hmm. And so all the other elements sort of came a little, you know, like second place, I guess, to me, even though when you're reading the final book, it might, you know, the ballet element obviously is very important to the story. Mm-hmm. But the thing about that is I'm also a big museum buff. Like I go to a lot of museums and I love going to art exhibitions. And I, you know, there were stories going around about Degas and paintings and his paintings and his ballerinas. And I think I sort of like all of these elements sort of worked, you know, their way into the story.
I love the whole Degas, you know, storyline about the ballerinas and connecting with the long lost family. And so it just felt like, I think it's just the meet cute, just sitting in a scooter, just sipping through Paris seems like a fun, you know, adventure.
You know? Yeah, see, well, it was also, it gave, you know, it gave Mia and Louis like fun things, like if, other than just going on a date, they had like an adventurous date. Mm-hmm. So I, it was kind of a, for me, it was kind of nice to weave that in.
Yes. So let's talk about Mia and the ballerina. What was your, what was your research process to get into the mind of the lead ballerina? And best companies and all the ballet and the swan leg, you know?
Yeah. So I did a lot of research on that. Like that was definitely the aspect that required the most research. So many things. So I bought books, like nonfiction books on like guides for ballerinas, basically, that explain like all of the steps. And but not just that, like all of the clothing, like usually how schools are organized. No, that's sort of like there's so many aspects to it. I watched documentaries, like specifically Misty Copeland's like the documentary on Misty Copeland. I mean, there are others. I watched Center Stage. What else? I did, you know what I found extremely helpful as a tool is YouTube. Mm-hmm. There are so many videos on YouTube of, you know, ballet schools for sure, like sequences of like Swan Lake that is in the book that really helped me like break down the steps and, you know, being able to describe them. And but there were also like lots, many, I found many really fascinating interviews with ballerinas from around the world that explain their, the, you know, what they feel when they're dancing and how they deal with like injuries and how, you know, how they process all of the different aspects of their, of their life as a ballerina, which I found extremely inspiring. And I definitely like took a few elements from every, you know, every video I watched. I took a few bits and sort of put them in the story one way or another.
I love this. Yeah, it just felt immersive. Like as someone who fell off ballet and always admired it, it was like, it's just like an immersive world of, you know, what it means to be in a, you know, be a ballerina and what it means to want to audition to those companies and like the whole process. It feels so daunting and it's like so big, and yet, you know, they each were taking a day at a time, and Mia was like, you know, wanting to have this life of being a ballerina at the same time finding and falling in love for the first time and just coming Paris, you know.
Like it's a lot.
it is a lot, but I think it's a YA book. Like it's a coming of age story. So
exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, that's what's exciting about writing YA, I guess, is you can play with like first times. Like this is her first time at this type of elite program, even though she's, you know, she's done other summer camps. This is her first time abroad. This is her first time, you know, falling in love, and that I think that makes for a lot of excitement for the author, like for me as I'm writing, but hopefully also for the reader.
So what are some of your upcoming projects?
So I'm working on another book right now. It's another YA contemporary romance. It's a standalone. They're both standalones, but it was part of my contract. Basically, I had two books. So same editor, same publisher, which is exciting. Don't know if I can say too much about it yet, but it is about food, way more than it is that in Kisses and Croissants, because I know some people have said, oh, there's so many croissants in the book. I was hungry. Well, this new book has a lot more food. So yeah, I don't know if I can say too much about it yet, but it's YA. It's in the world of in the food world, let's put it this way. And it's I have a draft due to my editor soon.
Oh my gosh.
I'm working pretty hard on it.
That is really exciting. I can't wait, you know, and you got me a food. Yes, because there's quite a few mentions of croissants. Like croissants made an appearance, you know.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And
yes.
All the other delicious things that we have in Paris, you know. So I can't imagine a food book is going to be more delicious stuff.
I hope so. I mean, I'm that's, you know, it's kind of, you put so much of yourself into a book, I think, because definitely the fact that there's so many mentions of pastries and kisses and croissants. That's very personal. I'm just like, I have a huge sweet tooth, and just writing about pastries makes me happy. So I just put them in.
I love this. So this is awesome. So now, such a round of book recommendations. It's an opportunity for to share with our audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
I read a lot of genres. I would say I just really run the gamut. I like general fiction, literary fiction a lot. I read rom-coms. I read women's fiction, even though, you know, I don't love the term, but that's what it's often categorized as. I read YA, obviously. I also really like thrillers and mystery novels. I read a lot of everything. And I've read a lot. And a lot of the books that I've loved this year have been like really huge hits, like Beach Read and The Vanishing Half were probably two of my favorites. But I thought I'd recommend a few books that are on my to be read pile right now that are coming out early next year, like a few fellow YA authors that have books coming out soon. One I just finished is actually a YA thriller. It's called The Obsession by, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce anyone's names, but by Jesse Q. Sutento. It's kind of like a mix of, I don't want to say too much, but like a mix of You and One of Us is Lying. So it's about, there's kind of about a stalker and the girl he stalks and how she gets revenge, basically. I won't say more, but I was really, it was definitely a page turner, and I was, I finished that very quickly. I was really into it. a few other books. So it's funny because I recently connected with a few other authors who have books similar to mine in the sense that it has to do with another culture. So a few of those that I just got the arcs and I'm just about to dive in. One is called Love in English by Maria E. Andrew, which is about a girl who moves from Argentina to New Jersey and, struggles to learn English and fit in. Another one that I'm really looking forward to is Tokyo Ever After by Emiko Jean. This is kind of pitched, I don't know too much about it, but it's
read
pitched. Oh, you read it? Okay, yeah. So no spoilers.
Princess Diaries meets Japan.
Crazy, yes.
It's delicious.
Is it? I just got it. I think I'm just getting it like in a few days. So, but it's been on my list for a little while. So I was very excited to know that I'm getting an advanced copy. And the last one I'll mention is Hot British Boyfriend by Christy Boyce. It's about a girl who flees the US. I think she's based in the US. Yeah, she after she gets rejected by her crush, she moves to England and I'm guessing she meets a boy there. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list. And it sounds really fun. I kind of always, I love when there's like a strong setting in a story. So those are books that I'm looking forward to reading over the next few weeks that come out next, all of them come out in the next, like the first few months of 2021.
Gosh, I'm so excited. You just gave me a book to check to add to my TBR. I do have Love in English and I've been meaning to read it. So thank you for helping me add it to the TBR. But never
good. Good. Yeah, I've been buying books endlessly this year, and I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I need to read a few more before I'm allowed to buy one more, because it's just never ends. But like I said, I love reading in so many different genres that it's very easy to find new books I want to read.
I love this. Tell us where you can find you online.
I'm pretty much everywhere at AS Jouhanneau, so that's AS Jouhanneau. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, more on Instagram than on Twitter. I have a website as well. So that's just basic information. So that's where you can find me.
Thank you, Anne Sophie, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Laura, for having me. It's been really fun chatting with you. Thank you for reading Kisses and Croissants, and I can't wait for this episode to come out.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.